Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
In your face, Chicago sports talk with great opinions, guests, and fun.
Nope. Afternoons on the Score.
We'll talk to Adam Hoge at 5 o'clock. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
Can you feel it, God. Danny?
I don't know what I'm feeling.
This is Daz, the song by Brick. Daz, Daz, disco jazz. And I was talking about it with Chris Tannehill, and he's like, I think I remember the song. And then he played it, and he's like, oh, hell yeah. Because what, Tanny, it's in one of the great diss tracks of all time.
Yeah, this was sampled in Ice Cube's No Vaseline.
Obviously.
As you do. But disco, funk, and jazz. This is one of my absolute jams. You know those songs? No, you don't, Danny. All right, do you guys know those
Danny,
songs?
Danny, do you know a song?
Listeners, and Teddy and Shane, do you guys know those songs that you put on and you're just like incapable of not smiling and being in a good mood? Like, yeah. Those things are gold when you have them. There's a Stevie Wonder jam called Do I Do, which is like the happiest song in the world. And I immediately start to dance no matter what is going on in my life. And Daz by Brick is one of those. Oh, sorry, Danny. There you are. Hi, buddy.
Hi. Yeah, sorry. I was just returning a text. Sorry, you guys talking about me? Back to music still? Music or football? Football?
So when I see that the Bears drafted a wide receiver in the sixth round named Daz Newsome, and I'm like, Daz, Daz, disco jazz, he's got to be named after Daz by Brick. Come on. Let's go. But then I find out he's not named after Daz.
Oh, no!
Hey, Daz, speaking of your parents, Daz is a pretty excellent name, especially for a wide receiver. Is there any story behind it? And is there a nickname for Daz even?
Daz is my real full name, but my dad got the name from, it's a rapper named Daz Dillinger. He just added a Z. I don't know if y'all know him. He's an old school California rapper.
Nice.
Yeah, Dad. Nice, says Grody. That's awesome.
That's a perfect response by Grody.
I'm so glad.
See what
asked.
I mean? Grody always in the middle of it, man.
Always in the middle of it.
So Daz Dillinger, I had to look him up. Part of the Dog Pound with Snoop. He's all over the Doggy Style album. And Daz Dillinger did some production on The Chronic, too, Dr. Dre. I mean, come on. This is hip-hop royalty that Daz Newsome is named after. And then, of course, the next question is Daz Dillinger nicknamed after the song Daz, disco jazz? I don't know. So, Shane, see if you can get Daz Dillinger on the show. Okay, good talk.
All right, hold on.
There's no way to know.
Yeah. But either way, I am so musically aroused by the sixth-round draft pick of wide receiver Daz Newsome that I hope he makes the damn team and has a great career.
I hope he does, too. The Bears could use another receiver so they don't have to rely on Anthony Miller. And I am with Mark Grody. Daz is a great name.
I absolutely think it's a great name.
Especially for a wide receiver.
Especially for
hey,
a wide receiver.
Hey, Daz, speaking of your parents, Daz is a pretty excellent name, especially for a wide receiver. Is there any story behind it? And is there a nickname for Daz even?
Daz is my real full name, but my dad got the name from, it's a rapper named Daz Dillinger. He just added a Z. I don't know if y'all know him. He an old school California rapper.
Nice.
Nice.
Had a friend in high school. His name was Daz. He was a right guard. Dumbass.
Okay.
Just I believe it's fit.
I believe it's pronounced Dumas. I could be wrong on that. I've just always thought it was that. But look, Daz Newsome might be a steal. 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns in 2019 for Daz Newsome. A 4.38 40 time, just like Darnell Mooney.
That's fast.
Crazy highlight catches. He's a slot guy, 5'10", good on short and intermediate routes, supposedly. And I love this, according to Pro Football Focus, top 10 in broken tackles in 2019. And again, top 15 in broken tackles in 2020. So we got a fast guy who can break some tackles and has highlight reel catches. Let's bring it. Daz Newsome for the Bears.
Okay, I have no idea whether or not Daz Newsome will even make the team. But Darnell Mooney is another legitimate success story of Ryan Pace in the late rounds, fourth, fifth round. How you talk about Yermin Mercedes, this is a weird cross-sport comparison, but you're like, no, he's real. Like, this is a real thing. It's sustainable. Don't worry about it. I feel that way about Darnell Mooney. I think Darnell Mooney has a very high ceiling in this league. And 15 years ago, a guy with his size and attributes probably doesn't even get a chance to play. Like maybe it's, yeah, you can be invited to camp, or you could be like Azakim or Dante Hall, and you can be like the kick returner. But in the NFL today, because it's such a passing league and college football is such a passing game, and it's more spread out, and there aren't headhunting safeties, and you can't really jam and hold a guy at the line of scrimmage.
The rules allow for guys like this to be impactful wide receivers for long periods of time.
Right, so the odds are obviously against a sixth-round pick making it in the NFL.
But it happens. Antonio Brown was a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, and it's what I'm saying now is that this particular type of sixth-round pick, my guess is going to hit at a higher clip than this particular type of sixth-round pick would have hit at 10 years ago.
Like absolutely.
The NFL is set up for, if there was ever an era for Daz Newsome to be legit, this is the era for
him. Did you guys see on Twitter last night, I forgot the user, but it was a collection of all the times that Mitch under or overthrew Darnell Mooney.
Oh, I didn't see that.
The great route running and then just like overthrown and underthrown every single time. Basically, the point was imagine what Justin Fields is going to be able to do with Darnell Mooney.
Yeah. Who throws a great deep ball, Justin Fields. But no, I would love to see that because, yeah, Darnell Mooney, he was the guy that I would keep using and keep pointing to as, man, I mean, people would get mad at me like, you're just caping for Matt Nagy. But I was like, schemed open, underthrew.
Yeah.
Because that was what he was. Like, he was the guy that was like, you're not throwing him 10 targets a game, but
you got to hit the times you throw him.
You got to hit him.
Absolutely.
and they never did.
Yeah, Daz Newsome returned 48 punts in college, including one for a touchdown. They might want to take that off Tariq Cohen's plate as he returns coming off the injury. And just to the texters who are saying, hey, Spiegel, it's the Daz Band. No, the Daz Band was a entirely different band. Let It Whip was their big song. The song that we played, Daz, was by the band Brick. We've done our research here, people. Okay? You don't talk about Daz Newsome without knowing what the hell you're talking about.
Obviously. It's a high, Spiegel knew like 5% more about the Daz music lineage than I did, so I just let you have
That's
it.
That's kind of you.
But you were correct. You were factually accurate and everything.
Thank
I would
you.
Have checked you because I have enough Daz musical knowledge
I know
to back
you
that up.
And I agree with the texter who says that was a serious I'm old moment when Daz Newsome refers to the Snoop Dogg crew as old school rappers.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Woo, that one hurt. Absolutely that one hurt.
Daz Newsome.
Yeah.
I like his dad took the creative liberty and added the extra Z, because why not?
Yeah, because as you should.
You never have too many Zs.
Yeah, extra Z is for savings, I believe, if memory serves. Look, the Dog Pound, he was
you
part of the Dog Pound.
You wanted to talk about this draft.
I've been so excited.
We could talk about Justin Fields.
Sure, we can. I got more Daz Newsome material.
Me personally, you know, if I was, you know, I'd name my son after Corrupt. Corrupt being my favorite member of the Dog Pound, obviously.
Well, Tanny, there's still time.
There is, yeah.
There's still time. And when he's a sixth round pick on the Owen Parkins and Ruben Spiegel show.
And Tanny's running the board in Afternoon Drive.
Oh, no. See?
What? That's a compliment. There'll never be anyone better. They'll take our jobs.
Is there somebody in the Dog Pound named Lil Half Dead?
Probably.
That's what Google's telling me. Name my kid after Lil Half Dead.
Could be. Pound.
But now I'm trying to figure this out, Danny. So if the Dog Pound, they sided with Dr. Dre.
We're talking about Cleveland Browns.
Against Eazy-E, right? And then No Vaseline by Ice Cube, he's using Daz. As he's going against Dre, like I'm trying to figure out the lineage here and the whether it lines up with the dissing of the Daz and the such.
I think it's just a funky drop break. Okay. Dad, so you know, right. You're making my head hurt thinking about okay. it, and yeah, I don't think our audience cares.
If Daz Newsome makes any right. catch in any game, can we bring back some Daz the next day?
Absolutely. Yeah, especially considering it's already in the system. Yeah. I'd have to do no extra work, so that's fine.
That request is. There. So we have not done any updates on this White Don't. Sox game. You guys, I know, are watching. They've got their camouflage hats.
Can't see them.
Can't see. Where are they?
I thought none of them were wearing hats.
So they're down, what, 5-2 to the Royals? I got a weird angle.
Yeah, top seven.
Good observation, Danny.
Yeah. It's a weird angle. It's hard to see the score bug from where I am in here.
We've reached the Alex McRae's pitching portion of the first seven of the doubleheader.
I was just
going to
say,
so.
We've reached the Alex McRae's pitching portion of the doubleheader, a portion of the season. So this is, that's a rough go. Giolito is worth worrying about.
Yeah, probably. The two home runs he gave up earlier in the ball game were aided by wind considerably. They both hit about 335 feet into the right field corner there. So, you know, they weren't bombs by any means, but he's got to get it together. I'm sure he'll say post game that he's got to fix it. Fix it now.
Okay.
But the biggest concern coming early in the game with Jose Abreu when he collided on the first baseline with Hunter Dozier. Now, the Sox are saying that it's just a facial laceration, and that's it. No concussion for Jose Abreu, so good sign there. But it was definitely another heavy, scary moment involving a White Sox injured player early on in that one.
Yeah, and it was it's a tricky play because Hunter Dozier avoids – it's Grandal, right, catching? He avoids Grandal. And after he avoids Grandal, he kind of puts his head down like, all right, well, I avoided the guy. Now I can just run to first. But at that point, Abreu is already right there, and they collide violently. I tweeted, Danny, that Hunter Dozier's got to look up because it is on the runner. It's the responsibility of the runner to stay clear of the fielder. That is technically the rule. But, you know, and Hunter Dozier, I'm sure, upset that he popped up. And
I mean, he was, what, 25 feet up the first baseline? Like that.
Yeah.
That is
it's a rare spot.
Weird spot for a collision at that speed. I was thinking, how many infield collisions have you guys seen that were more violent than that one?
Very few.
Right. That was an outfield.
Cubs, Yankees, 2003, Spiegs. Who was that? Was that Hesop Choi?
Oh, wow.
And your memory is much better than mine.
Mm-hmm.
Years of abuse to the old brain cells. But that is
June 7, 2003.
You just don't see a lot of infield collisions.
No, because baseball.
And if you do, they're like, they're at a bag with a play there, and it's not the same type of thing, right? Like that was like a left fielder into a center fielder full speed collision that happened 25 feet from home plate.
Yeah, you know, I think of like times where like with a Fernando Vina moment where that's a base runner and an infielder. But in terms of, well, this was also a base runner and an infielder. But remember Vina like getting in the way of the second baseman as he runs from first to second. But yeah, baseball, it's just a couple little spots on the field that you have to worry about, you know, like where Ian Happ and Nico Horner collided with each other there in center, or, you know, it out there in left where Schwarber tore his knee in 2016. Like there's those kind of convergences, very, very rare to get this like it happened with Abreu today.
But yeah, hopefully they dodge that bullet and that Jose Abreu is okay. And what they're saying is true, that it's just a day-to-day thing with the facial laceration as the White Sox trail the Royals 5-2 in the first game of the seven-inning doubleheader. Let's hear from Justin Fields.
Okay.
Matt Nagy will speak. Practice is wrapping up, so his first practice as a Bear is over. But this was his first press conference with the Chicago media after the draft. And I think you'll hear a degree of professionalism and a deliberate quarterback. And I think there are a few things that you can take from it. So we hear from Justin Fields next on The Score.
Give my man Omar some extra treats tonight, and he should be good.
I will. Because, you know, the dog's love is completely everlasting. That's my association with the new Bears quarterback right now on this show. It's mildly mortifying. Adam Hoge has seen Justin Fields throw a football in a Bears uniform. I haven't seen that. I'd like to know how that went. He'll join us at 5 o'clock to discuss it.
Tell you what, man, these tweeted pictures of Justin Fields stretching, they're getting me going. No, just kidding. It's baseball season.
Well, that's going to be unfortunate for you because I got a lot of football scheduled for the next 90 minutes of this show.
I know.
Just an hour of the show before we're out of here early for the Cubs game. But just, you know me, football people speaking, I'm not normally that interested in it. It's an actions over words league, but
this is our guy.
This is our guy, and we're trying to get to know him. So this is his first press conference with the Chicago media since the one initially after the draft, and I was struck by how deliberate he was and the professionalism, but we're going to play the whole thing. You'll hear the questions, the answers, the whole interaction, so you can kind of get to know a little bit about how your quarterback carries himself. Here is Justin Fields.
Justin, what's on your mind as you get started on this part of your career and what you hope to accomplish over the coming month?
Really just taking it day by day, you know, focusing on each day, each period, each play on just, you know, perfecting that play and getting better. So that's what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to take it little by little. I'm not going to look, you know, too far ahead. Just going to take it day by day.
Justin, since we talked to you a couple of weeks ago, what has the experience been like of learning about the Bears, learning about the city? It strikes me that that's probably a lot of information coming flying at you pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been awesome. Just learning about the, you know, tradition here, learning about the city, the different things to do here, and just, you know, learning the playbook. Getting on Zoom meetings with, you know, Coach Flip, Coach Nagy, Glazer, you know, Snies, everybody. It's been awesome. So great learning experience, and I'm just, you know, excited for the future.
Hey, Justin, what do you anticipate is going to be the biggest challenge for you making the transition from a top college program to the Bears?
You know, I just think it's, you know, the terminology that, you know, NFL teams use, that we use. Just getting used to that, just getting used to the play calls and, of course, the players and stuff like that. But I think that's just going to come along with time, and I'll get used to it as, you know, time flies by.
Hey, Justin, as you get on the field with your coaches for the first time, what are kind of your short-term goals for the weekend?
Mm-hmm. My short-term goals are just to, you know, be crisp with the, you know, the huddle call, making sure I'm, you know, precise in my reads and stuff like that, and, you know, really take command of the huddle and, you know, show the guys out there that I'm, you know, leading the offense. So that's pretty much, you know, the kind of list of, you know, short-term goals that I have down for this weekend.
What's it been like consuming the playbook? Does it come easy to you, or is it something that you have to work hard on?
You know, I think if you want to be great at something, you have to work hard on it, you know, at whatever. So I want to be great at, you know, knowing this playbook, so I'm going to work hard at it, of course. But it has been, I would say, you know, easy with, you know, Coach Nagy, we Flip, Laser, Snides, everybody teaching me the playbook. So, you know, they made my job way easier by teaching it to me. And of course, it's just going to come with time with me studying that and, you know, just getting it down.
Justin, you mentioned the time with the terminology in the playbook. How much, I mean, I'm sure the terminology is different, but the playbook, how much more complicated, how much bigger or maybe even smaller or less complicated is it than what you did at Ohio State?
I would say it's probably the same. I think the only different thing about our offense is that, you know, at Ohio State, we did signals from the sideline. So actually getting in a huddle and calling the play out is the only different thing. But everything else is pretty much the same when it comes to concepts and stuff like that.
Hey, Justin, as a competitor, you're always out to perform your best. And anytime you've stepped into a program, you've been thinking about winning the starting quarterback job. Take that same mentality as you start rookie mini camp and all these off-season workouts, that you're going to do everything you can to win the starting quarterback job?
Of course. I mean, I think everybody on our team should be striving for a starting job. And if you're not, then there's no reason for you to be here. So, of course, I'm going to do everything that I can to, you know, get that starting job. And, you know, it's really, you know, it's not up to me. You know, Coach Nagy, he has a set plan on, you know, my development and stuff like that. But I'm just going to, you know, work hard and keep my head down and just keep grinding it out every day.
Hi, Justin. I'm curious what processes you've used to assimilate the information they've thrown at you in terms of the playbook. And have you gotten any advice from anyone about how to handle this process best and how to go about it?
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, constantly, you know, looking over it, making flashcards and stuff like that. I've done that. And, you know, just looking at it, you know, after we meet, going over it 30, 45 minutes by myself and kind of just reading over my notes and stuff like that. So, as I said before, it's just like, as time goes along, you know, I'll get more used to the playbook and I'll, you know, eventually know it like the back of my hand. So, it's just going to come with time.
Hey, Justin, we heard that Nick Foles was one of the first that reached out to you after you were drafted. I just curious what kind of support you've had from not only Nick but Andy, your conversations with them so far as you jump into this whole process.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they basically said, you know, they're excited for me to be a part of this team and, you know, whatever they need me to do let me reword this. Whatever I need them to do to help me, you know, be a better quarterback, they'll do that. So, yeah.
Justin, you mentioned that Nagy does have a plan for your development. How comfortable are you with that plan and knowing how competitive you are if they ask you to kind of sit back and wait a while till it's your turn?
I'm very comfortable, you know. I think, you know, it's very important for the players to trust the coaches and the coaches to trust the players. So, you know, whatever, you know, Coach Nagy has playing for me, it's what I'm going to do and what I'm going to follow.
Justin, do you feel prepared to compete with guys that are so experienced like Nick Foles and Andy Dalton, or do you need this weekend, for example, to kind of get yourself closer to even footing with them?
I mean, I'm not oblivious. I know I'm not going to, you know, come out here and, you know, be mistake free. You know, mistakes are going to happen as a rookie, so. It's just learning from those mistakes and, you know, getting better each and every day and just you know, progressing.
I want to know about your flashcards. Are they just 5x7 cards? And you write them out? How do you do it?
Yeah, just good old fashioned flashcards.
And 5x7. And what, do you draw the play on one side and put the wording on the other, or how does that work?
I use the flashcards for our formation, so I just, you know, just drew our formations up on the flashcards and just went through it.
And then you just sit there and flip through them for a while?
Yep.
Justin, Coach Flip talked about sort of getting you to show command right out of the gates in these early stages. I'm curious, through your eyes, how do you define command as a quarterback?
Yeah, it's just, you know, calling the play call with confidence, you know, having a loud voice, and just really taking control over the whole offense and, you know, really showing, you know, your teammates and, you know, the people who are out there on the field with you that, you know, you're the guy out there, that you have full confidence. And not only yourself, but your teammates. And, you know, even if you do make a mistake, you make it at full speed. So I think that's, you know, a couple of ways to show that, you know, you're the guy out there and you're doing all you can to get better.
As it relates to the success you have throwing the deep ball, what's your secret sauce? What's behind your deep ball accuracy and the success you've had throughout your quarterback career with that?
I'm not sure what my secret sauce is. I just throw it to the receiver. That's it. So,
Justin, I believe I read that you were second behind Trevor Lawrence in terms of jersey sales right after the draft. And Bear fans are obviously very, very excited about your arrival. What are your thoughts on that? And have you had any personal encounters with Bears fans that have recognized you? What was that like?
I mean, it's awesome. You know, from the get-go, I could just tell the love from the Bears fans and, you know, how, you know, passionate, you know, our fans are. So it's awesome, you know, having that support from them. And then I've had a few encounters, but, you know, it's just nothing but positive. And, you know, I just been saying what's up to everybody. So just all positive, you know, encounters and, you know, just in embracing the love. So, yeah.
Hey, Justin, even going all the way back to high school, I mean, you've always kind of been in the spotlight from a highly publicized recruitment, Georgia, Ohio State. now at the highest level, how ready do you feel for all this attention that's coming?
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, I've been, you know, kind of in the spotlight since high school. So I kind of feel like I'm, you know, made for this. I'm built for this. So it's nothing new to me. I'm just going to continue to work hard and continue to get better every day.
So that's Justin Fields. Like I said, I found him to be professional, deliberate, quite a few cliches, but not as a crutch, more as like a, I'm trained in how to do this and very comfortable in answering your question, but not really giving you any sort of headline.
Yeah.
Doesn't strike me as a guy who for a while is going to say anything that's going to generate a bunch of clickbait on Pro Football Talk.
No. I really like the solidity of that dude, the stability of that dude. And even when he like misspeaks, he kind of takes his time, takes a moment to make sure he says it right about the thing that like what Foles or Dalton could do for him. And I just, I was also struck by a couple little things. You remember we were here working together, the old Spiegel and Parkins show, very, very different show. Mitch was learning what a hard count was. Mitch was learning how to handle a huddle, how to speak to his teammates in a huddle. And there does not seem to be some of that adjustment. I love Hub asked the question, how's his playbook look? You know, is this different? Is this? He's like, no, it's about the same.
Yeah.
Yes.
About the same.
Woo!
About the same.
I love that. Yeah, because Ohio State is a real offense with a real coach and probably more money in that athletic department than in the Bears front office, frankly. So, okay, good.
I like Patrick Finley, and I know what he's doing there. He's trying to get an anecdote, right? He's trying to get something for a column that can be interesting and some color, as opposed to, okay, we've done 5-7 minutes here with the Bears quarterback.
Yeah.
It's largely cliches. There is no headline. There's nothing that interesting. He said all the right things. He wants to start, but he respects the coaches. He thinks he was just made for this, all that stuff. How many more questions do you think you could have asked about the flashcards? Were they yellow? White?
Could you describe the flashcards? Do you go out and get those yourself from Staples? Or
Office Max?
Yeah, you're an Office Max guy?
I mean, really, everything's available on Amazon right these days. Do you have it shipped to you?
So explain to me. You write something on the front of the flashcards, and then you flip them?
And then so there's something on the front and the back, so they're just two-sided flashcards, like a piece of paper, generally speaking.
Yeah.
The best was, though, if you were watching the video of it on the Bears YouTube channel, when he asked the questions, like, I want to know more about your flashcards, he feels kind of like,
little bemused smile, like,
little,
you've never used flashcards?
But he holds up his fingers like this, like, they're about this big. standard flashcard size.
Yeah.
About that big.
Meanwhile, Mitch is somewhere like, what are flashcards?
Flashcards.
Tell me.
I know flashlights.
Flash Gordon. Familiar with Flash Gordon.
I think that's something we got to keep in-house. Yeah.
See, mean-spirited.
Flashcards is interesting.
God, Spiegel, as the adult around here, be more kind to Mitch Trubisky. God's sakes. But he sure was dumb.
But that's mean-spirited.
Yeah, I think it is mean-spirited.
It was not what you wanted.
No.
But a lot of flashcard questions. That's the Bears quarterback.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, playbook's just about the same. I know what a hard count is. This will be great.
Everything should be fine.
I've been in a huddle before. This will be all right. I will throw deep. Thank you.
I will say this. Tevin Jenkins, little bit more interesting, a little bit more colorful in terms of some of his answers. We will play them for you, not all of it, but just two in particular that we enjoyed. And then we will unveil a new bit.
Yes.
It will not take long, and it has been the brainchild of Matt Spiegel for a long, long time. That's coming up before Adam Hogue in 20 minutes on The Score.
If you didn't see him, if you just saw a mugshot of him, he looks like he's going to engineering class. He's had pretty much the same girlfriend for 3 or 4 years. And he's just real low key.
That's Mike Gundy on Bears second round pick, Tevin Jenkins, who they're hoping to be their left tackle. Pretty much the same girlfriend. Pretty much.
Pretty much. Except for that time he was in Cabo and they were on a break, I do believe.
Thank you, Mike Gundy, for your relationship advice. Tevin Jenkins, interesting dude. interacts, mixes it up on Twitter. It's going to be a fun personality, fun guy to follow. Hopefully he's good.
I think so. A lot has been made of his newfound killer instinct within the last 18 months when he smelled the potential of an NFL life. And is that something you can learn and appropriate and have it be a part of your existence for the rest of your life? Hope so.
I hope so. I have absolutely... I'm going to talk to you, Speaks, about the mindset that it takes to be an NFL offensive lineman. I think I'm qualified to do that. What about you? Yeah. So I'm going to start breeding him young, yeah. Training him to be an offensive lineman.
It was me combining Olin Kreutz with the Owen bit.
I saw what you were doing there. Whew. Kind of.
At least somebody did. But anyway, Tevin, girlfriend, yes.
Yeah, well, so apparently he found his way to being a right tackle in college by basically, like, the person he's dating, her brother, was the left tackle, or he wanted to play left tackle. Well, here's Tevin Jenkins talking about how he ended up as a right tackle.
You still dating the guy's sister? And if so, does he owe you one? Because left tackle's left tackle's a little more high profile than right tackle. What was that? Have you talked about that kind of agreement you made with him since?
No, I didn't. It wasn't like if you play left tackle, I'll date your sister, but. It's I am still dating his sister. Yes, I'm still happy. I'm very happy to be with her still. Yes, it's her name's Sydney Springfield. If you want to look her up or something, I don't know. I'm pretty sure you guys might or something. I don't know. Or even if she, I know it's live, so she might be hearing it. So hi, babe, if she hears me. So yeah. So I'll say hi for her. And but yeah, that's. I mean, I'm just happy to be with her. And then there was no deal in all when that came to that. I can tell you that.
Did she appreciate your gesture to him? That's a fairly, I mean, that's a pretty noble thing you did.
I think so. Yes. You know, because he was my girlfriend's brother. Sorry, excuse me. But since then we worked like together, like all through spring, I worked with him with left tackle. So I was working left tackle and he was the backup for me. So, and I'm pretty sure she knew what was going to happen anyways if certain things go down, and I knew that he was going to be feeling more comfortable at left tackle anyways. So I was always ready in my mind learning every position and learning myself how to do it.
Confused.
So apparently this guy named Jake was going to be on the offensive line,
yeah.
And Tevin Jenkins was on the offensive line, and he said, hey, man, where do you feel more comfortable playing? And he said left, and he's like, cool, I can play either position, so I played right. So that's how he ended up the right tackle.
Oh, okay.
And then he ended up dating his sister.
Okay, so it wasn't that Jake sold his sister to play
for
left,
tackle. No.
It's a newer type of situation.
Right, it's like the baseball players that swapped wives. I was confused there for a minute.
I don't believe that was what was happening at Oklahoma State. I don't think.
Glad we cleared that out.
But that's that. But then Tevin Jenkins got into what is exciting him about being in Chicago.
Yeah, it definitely set in for me when I definitely got on that plane ride. That's when it definitely hit me. Like, that's when it hit me the hardest because, you know, I never been to Chicago, Illinois ever. And as soon as I landed, you know, I was over there like I felt like a tourist because I was over there looking side to side, looking at all windows, like, they're feeling nice and trying to be a, you know, trying to sightsee while I was in the plane and when I got onto my car too. And, you know, it really hit me hard because, you know, it's just like all that, like I said, that's my dream and I'm just happy to be here.
Also want to ask you, with the city itself, what excites you most about being in Chicago and what are you looking forward to doing when you get a little bit of time to explore?
You know, I've, in person, I don't think I've ever seen, do you guys have a skyscraper here? I don't know.
Yeah, I've
never seen a skyscraper in person. I definitely want to go check it out. And I'm definitely excited for pizza because, you know, I'm a big guy and I want to eat some more. And just getting to know more people around this area and just make more friendships. So I'm looking forward to.
Do you guys have a skyscraper?
Do you guys have a skyscraper?
Up to the falsetto.
I guess I'm
Do
just...
you guys have a skyscraper?
Do you guys have a skyscraper?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
We do.
Got a bunch of them.
Many, many skyscrapers. So he's been in Chicago, but yeah. So flies into O'Hare, and he just hasn't been downtown?
I think so.
Just straight.
Flies in O'Hare, go right to Lake Forest.
Right to Lake Forest and get a condo out in the burbs that he hasn't come downtown yet.
I think that's true.
But he hasn't Googled Chicago? It's surprising to me that he doesn't know about skyscrapers.
Take him to the top of the Willis Tower, if that's still what it's called.
It is.
And give that guy a Lou Malnati's to eat at the top of the Willis Tower. And he will lose his mind.
Do you guys have
skyscraper? You guys have a skyscraper?
I don't like him.
You don't like him?
Yeah, I don't like him. I was here today when we were watching my office. I don't like him. I think he's a total dweeb.
You guys are insufferable. If you saw him, you're both like, I don't like him.
You'd think Shaney was on his way to geometry class or whatever the hell Mike Gundy said.
I mean, if you saw his mugshot, by the way, he shouldn't have a mugshot. Don't worry. Forget I said mugshot. I don't know why I said mugshot.
What I mean is he's black and black people have girlfriend. Mugshots, is what Mike Gundy was saying, I'm pretty sure. Because he gets his news with absolutely no bias.
One American news. So.
It's so refreshing.
Yeah.
They just report the news. There's no commentary. There's no opinion.
Yeah, thank you, Mike Gundy.
But football players all have mugshots.
But so you don't like him?
No.
Why?
Well, I believe that my tackles should be nasty people, which is funny because Kyle Long, biggest sweetheart in the world, but he definitely had that edge to him on the football field. I got to see this guy play.
Is Kyle Long the biggest sweetheart in the world? He stole $20 from me.
That's true, and he also made fun of your biscuits on Instagram, which won points with me, but maybe not so much with you.
In fairness, he was retired at the time.
Yeah, I thought I was helping out somebody in need, and then he got a big contract, and I haven't seen my $20.
Wait, so because he doesn't know that Chicago has a skyscraper, you're afraid he's going to be a bust, essentially?
Yeah, I think it's not very smart.
He is smart. On draft day, he was talking about just hitting people all the time.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, yeah. Because that's a skill you pick up when you're 18.
It's something he just developed over the last calendar year. I'm going to be a nasty guy now.
You've noticed I am worried about that. You decide to be nasty, headed to the draft, and then you get drafted, and you're like, oh, you mean I got to be this kind of nasty?
The animal gene, man.
Yeah, man.
You guys have watched the collective 0 minutes of film on Tevin Jenkins based on out of context.
Yeah, we're too busy helping you move. Like, when do we have time? We don't have time to watch film, dude.
I'm starting to get it now. When I had a conversation with Bears PR about a week ago, just trying to figure out, hey, what's the best way to go about getting some more of you guys on our show? And he's like, well, you guys could be nicer. Now I get it.
Really?
Is that what they said?
Well, you know, it's a general conversation with general PR people.
Salute.
Yeah, just, you know, players listen. I hope if Tevin Jenkins doesn't know that there's a skyscraper here, he doesn't have a radio. So maybe we're okay.
Do you guys have a skyscraper?
Yes, we do.
Just do the Brian Baldinger plan, put Khalil Mack on him day one, and Khalil will let us all know if he can play tackle or not.
What if he can't? That's the worry.
It's certainly on the table.
It's on the table. It's in play.
Based on not knowing about skyscrapers and developing a mean streak when he found out he had a shot to be a pro.
Yeah.
You guys are a bunch of haters. We have no idea if this guy's going to be good or not.
He's been very outspoken on social media about people using his old photo. Like, hey, get an updated photo, man. What's he going to do when there's like a 300-pound monster on the other side? That wants to end him.
He's going
to
make sure that they have an updated photo.
That's true. He's
going to text them an updated photo.
Headshots.
Yeah, he's going to talk to him about skyscrapers. Yeah. There's big buildings right over there by the stadium.
Do you guys have a skyscraper?
Spigs.
Yeah.
Introduce the new bit and show us your skills.
I'm very excited about this. It's been a long time thought process. Sometimes, Danny, you look around and you're like, I'm really interested in this particular team. Right now. And nobody cares. Nobody says, Speaks, you want to talk about this team? And I'm like, yes, I do. It doesn't happen. I'm having that kind of moment right now. And I'm realizing that we need a bit. And I decided I needed to sing for the bit to get it in there. Because it's not about the heat of the moment. Okay?
No. It's not
a long
about
post.
The heat.
It's a long post. But I'm going to hit it. It could be any team. We'll do it from time to time. Any team in any league, in any sport, you never know when they might be the team of the moment.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eyes.
The team of the moment right now is the New Jersey, now Brooklyn Nets. They could lock up the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference this weekend, Danny. They play the Bulls on Saturday. They end the season against Cavaliers on Sunday. James Harden is back. Played against San Antonio. 26 minutes, 18 points, 11 assists, 7 boards, 2 steals, 2 blocks in his first game back. And the big three have played a combined seven games together. Seven games all year together. They were 16-12 the last time the three of them played together. Tomorrow night, with only two games left in the season, the Nets' big three of Durant and Harden and Kyrie Irving will play together again. They've been good since the last time all three of them were together. They've been 30-12 since then. But how good can they be? These final two games, if they win them both, they'll lock up the number two seed in the East. And can the Nets put it together this fast under a rookie coach and Steve Nash to be what we expected them to be, which was the best team in the Eastern Conference?
It'd be very difficult. It'll be fascinating. The Bulls need to beat them with the Nets trying for the Bulls to keep their shot alive. I love team of the moment, by the way, and good job hitting the post. What is to me about the Nets that is going to be the challenge for them is they give up the sixth most amount of points in the league. The only teams who give up more points, Washington, who is the 10th seed in the East, and then Sacramento, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and Houston,
wow,
who are the bottom four teams in the West, obviously all not playoff teams. And then it's the Nets at 115 a game. Can you win a championship in the NBA when it becomes more of a half-court game, giving up 115 points a game?
Well, James Harden, not known for his defense, as he returns.
He doesn't solve that problem.
He does not. They got Blake Griffin since the last time the big three have been together, so now Blake Griffin is there. They've just signed Mike James for the rest of the year. He's part of their rotation as a backup point. But yeah, man, we'll see. Offensively, their potential is limited.
Yeah.
So can they just outscore that kind of defense in the course of the playoffs? I'm looking forward to watching them. That's why they're the team of the moment.
They are the team of the moment. The story of the day and the year in Chicago is Justin Fields. He threw passes today at Halas Hall wearing a Bears jersey. Basically, no one saw it. Adam Hogue is one of the people who did. He joins us next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.